What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll get to ask D. Mays in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D. Mays. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Predators in action tonight at Chicago. Puck drop at 7:30. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, it's great to catch up with you on a Friday this week. And it is a much better conversation this week versus last week because I had to place a little bit of blame on you. We talked to you, Elliot. And then that night, the Predators ended their 18-game point streak against the Arizona Coyotes. And then last week, I said, Elliot, I'm gonna hold you accountable for that. And then they turned around and beat the St. Louis Blues and put themselves right in a position to clinch a playoff spot. So, Elliot, you've redeemed yourself.
Yeah, I told you not to worry, Carolyn. I told you everything was going to be okay. And I never had a doubt. I haven't always been right. I've been wrong a lot. But I'm really happy I was right about this one because Nashville is one of the great cities in the NHL, and I love to see it in the playoffs.
And we love to see it, too. I just wanted your perspective, national perspective, because we've obviously been talking about it from a local perspective, you know, hyper-focused on the Predators, just where they were at the beginning of the season. When Barry Trotz was telling people, Predators fans, look, be patient with us. You know, this is going to take some time. Now fast forward to April, and the Predators find themselves in a playoff spot with a lot of encouragement about what this team can do in the playoffs. So just kind of your perspective on Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz in year one, the Predators, where they started and now where they find themselves.
Well, this year is a big win for them, Carolyn. There were a lot of skeptics, not just in Nashville, but around the league. You remember a month into the season, you guys were in 31st place, and it didn't look great. Things could have really collapsed after that whole U2 thing. I think that, to me, as much as anything else, tells me that the players that have been assembled there are real pros, because I've been in situations where there were issues between the employees and the managerial class, and it just blows up and doesn't go anywhere good. But that was turned into a positive, which I think is very important. And, you know, I think that they've earned the spot that they're in, and I think that they've really impressed people. You know, I think Brunette will definitely get votes for Coach of the Year. I think he's going to be in the conversation. I could see Trotz getting votes for GM of the Year, but that one's a little different because that one's voted on after the second round of the playoffs, so it tends to be people who are still standing at that time, although it doesn't 100% have to be the case. I think Josi is definitely going to be in both the Hart and the Norris conversations. Another guy who I think Saros will be in the Vezina conversations. And, you know, I think Philip Forsberg, I mean, he's not going to win any awards, but this year people have been reminded what a good player he is. And the other one I heard is I hear a lot of for is Ryan O'Reilly. Like, just a lot of the reason that you guys signed him, he's had an excellent season.
I think a lot of Predators fans have been reminded about Philip Forsberg as well. And I remember when Barry Trotz signed Ryan O'Reilly, a lot of the reaction was, well, why bring in a guy who's older and expensive? Didn't we just unload a lot of older and expensive players? And Barry Trotz said, look, trust my system, trust the culture that I want to build here. And frankly, I can't even imagine this Predators team without Ryan O'Reilly this past season.
No, he's a pro. Like, he really is. He's really a smart, intelligent, mentally strong, prepared player. He's always prepared. He knows what he's doing. He always has a plan. He leads by example. And the other thing too is, age is just a number right now, Carol, and that's what I like to tell people. It's how you prepare. It's how you take care of yourself. And he's really good at that. He's always prepared. He takes good care of himself. He's smart. He's not the fastest. I mean, that's the thing in a game right now, which is so much speed. He's not the fastest guy, but he always knows where to be, and he always knows where the play is going. And I think that when you have young players who you're hoping take the next step, you're hoping that they see the way he approaches the game and it becomes like osmosis. He is the guy that you learn from. And I think that's definitely happened. The other thing too is, especially at the center position, when you've got young players who are learning, guys like Novak, some of the other young centers you have, it's nice to have someone on an off night for everyone or in a tough situation. You can say, I need this kind of a person here. And O'Reilly is that guy. He can take the pressure off some of your learning players. He can put them in positions where they can learn on a more gradual curve. On nights that go wrong, he can really stabilize things. He eats a lot of big minutes that eventually you want your young players to get to, but they're not going to be ready for all the time. He's that kind of guy.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman. Check out his podcast, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, there was an article written by Adam Vingan, who does a wonderful job. You can check it out on Sportsnet. And it was entitled, Did the Nashville Predators Peak a Little Too Early? And he just sort of backed it up with some numbers comparing them to their 18-point streak compared to the last six or seven games this year. And the numbers have been a lot different. Do you believe in your years, in your time covering sports and playing hockey, do you believe the whole peaking too soon theory?
I don't know about that. Derek, if they hadn't gotten better, they wouldn't be anywhere near the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can argue, Derek, that they peaked too soon. They peaked kind of when they had to. If they didn't get going at that time, they were out. So, I don't know how you could look at it and say they peaked too early before the playoffs, because they were far from guaranteed to make the playoffs. I just think when you have a run like that one, you're going to come down to earth. 82 games is a lot. Nobody's perfect throughout them. If the run started at the season, I wouldn't expect them to go 76-0-6. Like, I just think that doesn't happen. You're going to have stinky parts to your year. And, I just think they were due to come down a bit. But, the key thing is, Derek, is I think they've stabilized. Sometimes you come off a streak like that and maybe you lose seven in a row. Like, that hasn't happened. They stabilized. And I think a lot of us also thought that if they get in, Derek, they'd be the eighth, the wild card two. And they're going to be wild card one. And that's pretty impressive. I can't imagine, a month into the season, like I said, when they were in 31st place, anyone would have imagined, like, you would have thought if they were getting into the playoffs, they were sneaking in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Like, they were not going to be making it the way they are, which is very comfortably over the first team that's going to miss the playoffs, either Vegas or more likely St. Louis.
Now, also, Elliot, in your time, in your experience talking with coaches in this league, mm-hmm. because also this is another question that we talked about this week, Willie, Caroline, and I, because now that they've, you know, found themselves in a playoff, they got the X next to their name, when do you start resting guys? You don't want to rest them too soon because you want to go into the playoffs with some type of momentum. You don't want these guys to have too many days off. So, you know, you talking with other coaches, what have they said is the best way to sort of approach that? Because that's where the Nashville Predators are at now. More than likely, they'll get the number one seed, but it doesn't hurt to have a few extra days of rest.
Well, I just think, like, you guys have a pretty unique schedule. You guys, Derek, are one of the first teams to finish. You play, I mean, you have Chicago tonight, and I saw that Saros isn't, I think that was actually really smart. They're not. They didn't take Saros to Chicago. They took him to. They kept him home today, and they're going to have. I guess Troy Grosnick is going to back up Lankinen tonight. I think that's a really smart move. So you guys have Chicago tonight. You have Columbus tomorrow, back to back, and then you have Pittsburgh on Monday, and then you have. You could have 4 or 5 days. You'll have 4 days off for sure, because the playoffs start next Saturday on the 20th. Although we don't know yet who's playing when. I'm pretty sure Toronto's playing next Saturday, but since you're not playing them, I don't know where you're going to be. Now, this is the way I would look at it if I was in their shoes, Derek. Their top guys, you play one of the two games this weekend. I mean, you guys are locked in. You're going to pretty much. You're going to finish. It looks like you guys are going to finish seventh. You know you're going to face. It looks like you're going to play Vancouver. The way I look at it, I shouldn't say you guys are locked in. You could finish, in theory, you could finish eighth. But, you know, the way I would look at it is, if you're going to rest anybody, it's going to be tonight or tomorrow. That's what you're going to do. And the reason I don't think they rest anyone Monday, Derek, is because you're going to have all those game days off. If you play guys tonight and tomorrow and then don't play them Monday, that's a week at least. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that. I think you want the guy. I think you want your players to play Monday. And the other thing about that, Derek, is, and I don't know what the rules were in football when you played, but that could be a huge game for Pittsburgh. That could be a game where could make or break the Penguins and other teams for the playoffs. And I know that in the NHL, I think teams kind of respect that. Like, there was a situation, I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, where Toronto had a cap problem and they might not have had an NHL goalie to play a game if the league wasn't willing to give them wasn't willing to approve a roster move they were going to make. And basically what the Leafs told them was, look, you guys can do whatever you want, but this game matters tonight in the playoff race, and would you want us to have a guy who has never played in a game before in a night that matters to the playoff race, or would you rather we do it tomorrow when it doesn't matter? And that's kind of the way the league governs itself, is they, in games that matter, you tend to dress your best lineup you can. Ultimately, Nashville has to do what's best for the Predators, but I look at them being done on Monday, and I think they're going to want guys to play Monday and not be off for a week.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman is with us, Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, you mentioned earlier UC Saros could be a Vezina contender.
Yeah.
Do you think that voters would be willing to look past the first half of the season in which UC Saros really was not playing, like UC Saros was not playing like a Vezina contender? And is that maybe a testament to how he's played coming down this past, this stretch the past couple of months?
Well, first of all, the people who vote for the Vezina are the general managers. So in theory, they should be a lot smarter than the media, Carolyn. So what I would say is that they would ignore the first beginning of the season. I think Hellebuck's going to be hard to beat this year. My guess is he's likely the guy. But I don't think the first part of the season is going to matter. I think they look at the full package. And plus, everybody knows Saros and respects Saros. I don't think the first part of the year means a thing.
I think Predators fans saw on full display the other day just how freaking good Connor Hellebuyck is. Last one from me, Elliot. Arizona. This Coyote situation, it came out earlier this week that there are talks about moving the franchise to Salt Lake, and then those conversations escalated very quickly. You reported several little tidbits about how the NHL could just dissolve the Coyotes as a team. Walk us through what has happened and what might come next for the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, I think, Carolyn, I think this is farther along than everybody wants to admit because there are lawyers involved. And lawyers look at the world in a very binary way. It's either done or it's not done. And until it's done, it's not done. And they don't like to talk about anything that's not done. So I think they're a lot farther along, but it's not complete. I believe the hope was that they could announce it next week, the move, after the Coyotes finish their season. They finish on Wednesday night against Edmonton at home. But I don't know if it's going to be done at that time. There's a lot of lawyers and papering involved, and it takes time. So I'm not sure that it will happen, but they're working on it. I think what you're going to see is possibly the Coyotes organization declared inactive, which means that the Coyotes will be kind of like into a stasis. They're going to say that, look, the team is being paused or suspended operations or whatever they want to call. And the contracts of the players will be purchased by Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz. And the team will be moved there at some point. And, I just think that the arena situation became untenable. Even if they won the auction by their own admission, they thought the earliest they could have a new arena was the fall of 2027. And I just don't think anyone wanted to play in Mullet Arena for three more years at a minimum. So it became a situation where they wanted to move. Where they said this is the best solution. Ryan Smith is a person that the NHL is very excited to have. He's very excited to be part of the group. I understand he's committed a lot of money to upgrading the arena, and they're supposed to get a new arena as part of the Salt Lake City Olympic bid, which I believe is for 2030. It's either 2030 or 2034. I can't remember which one. So, they really like him, and he's enthusiastic. So they felt it was the best solution to a problem they felt couldn't continue. And that's why we are where we are.
Now, Elliot, when you say, because they're in this transition, but when you say suspend or pause, are you saying that the team will not play, but this individual will buy the team and then still pay the contracts, but they're not playing?
No. They will play.
Basically
what happened is, they're not purchasing the name or the logo or the trademarks or anything like that. They're basically, the league is buying, it's kind of a unique deal, Derek. Mm-hmm. The league is buying the team from the current owners of the Coyotes, and they're going to give a new team to Utah. It'll be the same players, but it'll be different name, obviously, a whole new history. That's kind of the way it works.
Okay. Has that happened before where the NHL has to buy a team? And I'm only asking because I haven't followed the NHL that heavy to know whether there was a team being bought by the league or not.
Derek, it's not a stupid question. And there's nothing wrong with that, the way you're asking at all. I mean, I totally understand. When Atlanta went to Winnipeg, the team was sold directly by the Thrashers to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. That was a $110 million sale plus an extra $60 million. Relocation fee. So I think that one was $170 million. This one's going to be a little different. The league is going to buy the Coyotes for about $1 billion, and then they're going to sell the team to, or it's almost like a half expansion, I think is the way someone described it to me this morning, Derek, was like a half expansion.
Okay.
The league is going to buy the team from Arizona for $1 billion, around there, but I've heard $1 billion, and they're going to sell the team or give a new team to Utah. Some people have reported it as $1.3 billion. I've heard $1.2 billion, but it's in that area for sure. So that's kind of what, that's how it's all going to work. So it's a bit unique. It's a bit different. But I think because of, like, technically the Coyotes are going to be, like I said, inactive or in stasis. Mm-hmm. They kind of have to do it this way. And also, I think the current Coyotes owner, he's a bit of a wild card, and the NHL wants to deal with him directly.
Hence, Coyote Wild, Arizona Wild.
There you go.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate you for joining us. Thanks for being flexible with us this week, and we'll catch up next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. Willie Donick will join us in about 30 or so minutes. We'll break down Andrew Burnett's approach to these next two games at Chicago tonight, back home on Saturday, a back-to-back with three games left in the season. You've already clinched the playoffs. We will get into Asti Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get those questions in for D. Mays. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, they tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Texas A&M. The time in here is incorrect, so I'm not even going to read it. But Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.
G-mas. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D. Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D. Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D. Mace. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Also coming up later this hour, we've got some Preds playoff tickets to get away, so stick around for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the Preds' first home playoff game at Bridgestone Arena. Let's get into those questions for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a question for D-Mace, we'll take your calls and we will take your texts. We'll kick it off with one texter who asked D-Mace, outside of the top three receivers, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr., who is your favorite receiver in this year's draft?
Man, I really don't. Honestly, I really don't have a favorite guy. You know, I look at the top three guys, and I really haven't went past, you know, three or four guys. Because I don't see this draft as it's, I think it's top heavy. But I do believe they got a lot of good players in regards to wide receivers. But I've spent my time looking at the top two, three, possibly even four wide receivers. I haven't ventured down taking a guy outside of that. I was looking at guys that the Titans could potentially take in the first round. Now there is other guys out there that are pretty good. You know, the other kid from Washington, the kid that played alongside of Odunze. He's pretty good. Obviously, Leggett is pretty good. And TD has said a lot of good things about Leggett. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Xavier McDaniel, his 40 time. Worthy. Is Xavier Worthy?
Xavier Worthy. He's the one. He ran
four two one. So he has a good 40 time. His counterpart on the other side, really good receiver.
AD Mitchell.
There's depth to this. But I think there's a distinct difference between the top two or three guys, possibly even four, and then the rest of the bunch.
And it is interesting because out of the top three, I view there's like a second tier of receivers, mm-hmm. whether it's like Brian Thomas Jr. or AD Mitchell, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. And then once you get past there, I think there's still really quality
there's
receivers
quality,
that
yes.
you can find. Travis Texan says, D-Mace, could you win in a fight with Big Sexy, Michael McCarron?
On ice or just like?
Let's say both.
Out in the street. I wouldn't win on ice because I can't skate, so I'm done. As soon as I get on the ice, I'm done. Yeah, you take me.
Now, you touch me lightly,
exactly.
And I'm down.
Now, if we're just like on concrete or something, I may have a chance there. I may have a chance.
I like your chances.
Yeah, I may have a chance. That's why I go to the gut, you know? I ain't trying to hit the face. His arm's too long.
You know, sucker punch.
I'm trying to get inside, like Tyson, mm-hmm. Get inside the body, you know, gut. With tall guys
take
like that,
take advantage of
once
your
you
size.
Get inside, hit him with a couple gut shots, bring him down to your size.
Dunzo.
And then it's done.
Rabbit
it's
shots for the win.
Exactly. It's a wrap right there. I don't fight clean. Let's just say that. I don't fight clean.
Should we consider this an invitation to fight with Big Sexy?
Nah, I'm not gonna say. I pass on that.
Okay.
Only if I had to, like, he was between me and the restroom, and I had to use it real bad. Then I'll fight him. But other than that, no, I'm going the other way.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Adam in Portland is on the line with a question for D-Maze. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. Hey, all right, D-Maze. So
yes.
Is there anybody, because I'm just kind of curious about this because of your experience, is there anybody that has you on bust alert coming up with this draft? Because you guys talk about it every day. Like, we're all like, I don't know, at this point, especially in the next coming like week or two, just ready to get it over with at that point. But I know you've seen enough players where you're like, is there anybody that just makes you like, I don't know about him. Like, you wouldn't personally draft him because he just gives you a feeling. Is there anybody that does that to you?
J.J. McCarthy is one, and thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
J.J. McCarthy is one. I'm not saying that he would be a bust, but I think bust is a term I think you use for an individual that is drafted extremely high and then doesn't, you know, pan out. You can't call a third-round draft pick or fourth-round draft pick a bust. You draft him in the third and the fourth round for a reason. You thought that there was still growth that needed to happen. And some guys just don't get there. Some guys do get there. So I would say possibly J.J. McCarthy, not because I think he's a bad player. Adam's talking about this year's draft, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So not because I think he's a bad player, but if you reach for him and he ends up just being okay, that is a bust to me because you reach too far to draft him in the top five and he ends up not being the quarterback that you thought he was, so much so that you may have to replace him after a few years. Not that he's a bad quarterback. He's just one of those, you're not going to win much with him. And it's better to sort of move on from him. Not that you got to cut him, but you need to get somebody else in that position. If he's drafted high, he has the potential to be that because maybe not everybody has him that high, and it's that one team, New England. It's perceived that New England has him as a top quarterback, and if that is indeed the case, and you draft him that high, and it doesn't work out, it's considered a bust because you reached for him to draft him that high.
I also think a true bust is one that you don't really see coming.
Like, yeah.
If I can say today that guy's gonna be a bust, then it's yes, you can still consider them a quote unquote bust. But also, I would view, like, Corey Davis in the Titans. Uh-huh. I don't think the Titans would have taken him fifth overall if they thought that we would only get a few years of production out of him. We wouldn't sign him to a second contract.
And consider him – I consider him a bust from this reason. Not that he didn't play good football.
But fifth overall football?
Fifth overall pick football, no. Mm-hmm. He played more like third, fourth, fifth round type of football, which would have been great. But because you were drafted – fifth overall, those numbers don't add up.
Where you're drafted matters.
Exactly. Where you're drafted matters and your production. They expect production when you're drafted that high. They expect immediate production and consistent production. And he didn't have immediate production. And he didn't have that sustained production. He was good, but not fifth overall good.
Whenever he was drafted, what was the perception? Was it, why would you do that? Or was it, this is our wide receiver?
I think Titan fans were like, wow.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you reach for him. Why? Because he didn't run. Because he had a foot injury too, I believe. That's what the case was, why he didn't run. And nobody knew truly how fast he was. Nobody truly knew anything because he didn't do much. Because he was, you know, sort of rehabbing from this foot injury. I believe that's what it was. So I think when he was drafted, because I think we were on the air, Jared, Floyd and I, And when they drafted him, it was like, wow, okay. Like, you reached that high to draft him in the, you know, fifth overall mm-hmm. when he didn't do anything, like workouts or anything, and you drafted him that high? That's like, wow, you know? So when you draft a guy and, you know, his production, it does matter. Because if you draft him fifth overall, his production need to match it. And Corey's, he was, again, he was a solid player, but his production didn't match his slot in the draft.
Eric is on the line with a question for D-Mace. Go ahead, Eric. What's up?
Yeah, before I get to my question, I got a bad joke. This is kind of a real corny one that I heard recently, so I hope you like it. What is another name for a Russian grave?
A Russian grave?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A communist plot.
A communist park?
Plot.
Oh, plot. Oh. Okay, I get it.
Not your best, Derek, yes. But I appreciate it.
Not your best, but,
I
know, but okay.
I know.
Okay, can't always have a fastball.
Well, yeah. Well, I know. They're not all great, but these are just ones. Some of my makeup and some I've just heard, so that was one I've heard. But, yeah, I got a feeling that one might land with a thud. But here's my question. I'm sure you've heard this within the last day or two. It's just ridiculous. It's just insane. Of course, Tom Brady was talking about somebody on the podcast, and you know, and he was asked about would he come back because he's about making another return. He said, well, he probably couldn't do it because supposedly he's an owner. I don't know if he signed the contract yet or not, because if he's an owner, he can't do that. But he said, if you know, they probably wouldn't let him play, but he would not be opposed to coming back sometime this season. I mean, and there are other people starting this room. Oh, well, Brady could come back, or they said they would sign him if you got an injury in training camp or late in the season. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. It's just insane. I just laugh at it. It's hilarious. I mean, you would think he would just want to enjoy retirement, but even though at 45, he's talking about being in shape and he's enjoying the itch to play. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Y'all take care and have a great weekend.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
Thank
have a good
you,
one.
Eric. This is the time of the year where even if you are – Tom Brady, the GOAT, endorsements out of the Y2C. I mean, you getting ready to, you know, be in the booth. Is it Fox?
Fox, is he going to be in the booth? I feel like he's been putting this off for a while.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, but I've also heard that he's going to flex out Greg Olson in his position. So that's where Tom's going to take over.
Tom's feeling like, I don't want to.
Yeah, so he's, even with all this stuff he has on his plate, even with all that, he wants to be relevant in a sense. Not Tom is relevant, period, because of what he was able to do in the game. But you start to realize, like, once I leave the game, like after that initial 3, 4, 5 months where everybody's talking about you and everybody's wondering and all this, and then you go into a year and ain't nobody saying anything about you, get kind of sad. Get kind of lonely, don't you? Kind of sad and lonely, you know? Like, why aren't they talking about me? Even though you are the GOAT, you got 29 championships. I mean, you got everything that every player would want. You have it all. But they ain't talking about me. Ain't nobody saying anything about me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to throw it out there. Yeah, I wouldn't mind coming back. Now the buzz. Everybody's talking about Tom again. And Tom's just sitting back. Tom, I mean, if he comes back, great. I don't think he's coming back. I just think he wants his name. He wants to be talked about again. When you've been in that position for so long where you've been just like, you've been the eye for everybody. Everybody's been watching you, talking about you, you know, just gushing over you for 20 years. And then all of a sudden it goes away because they don't see you no more. You're not on the field. You're not doing anything. You get kind of lonely. Tom's kind of lonely. Not to say he doesn't have a bunch of things to do, because he probably does.
Yeah.
But that one thing that fed him, like it feeds all athletes, that attention.
Tom knows what he's doing.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's just bored. He just wants to stir the pot.
He wants to be talked about.
Yeah.
And I know people are saying, no, don't say that. He got you're right. He does have championships. He is the GOAT. But is anybody talking about him? Was anybody talking about him prior to him saying, I'm coming back? No. Not because he's not the GOAT, but because he's just not in the forefront of anything.
He's going to be 47 mm-hmm. by the time the season starts. 47.
I wouldn't, you know what, I wouldn't
put If anyone could do it, he could do it.
I think he can do it. I think that there are a lot of quarterbacks. If you still are, you know, you still can spin the ball. I think in today's football, you can play. Why? Because there you can't hit quarterbacks. You can't do the things that you used to do. So the longevity of a quarterback extends. So a Tom Brady at 47 can come back. You know, as long as he can spin the ball, you know, more than 50 yards, he can come back. Because of the way the rules are for NFL quarterbacks now. So any guy that can play, if a team wants you and you're 35, 40 years old, you're more likely to come back now than you were 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
More Ask D. Mays coming up next. So get those questions in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds on the road for a doubleheader. Pregame at 4:50 p.m., first pitch at 5:05. Coverage also available on 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Sounds Baseball, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Caroline Ville D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Right back into your questions for D. Mays. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have a question for D. Mays, Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Also, we are just minutes away from giving away a pair of tickets to see the first Preds home playoff game. So be listening for your opportunity to win. Let's get back into your questions for D. Mays. Tommy asks, D. Mays, how pissed would you be if you signed with a team that had another star receiver and then they released the star receiver, hence Samuel signing before Diggs' release in Buffalo?
So how would I feel if I was a marquee receiver and they traded me away before?
If you signed with a team
and
that had a star receiver.
Oh, and then they got rid of him. How would I feel?
They traded the star receiver, like Curtis Samuel signing with Buffalo, and then Buffalo trading away.
I guess it would be sort of there would be two types of feel here. One, it would be, okay, we lost a good player. Like, man, our receiver room just got depleted. That's what, you know, one of my thoughts would be. It's like, man, now who are they going to go get, you know, to replace him? Then my other thought is, all right, so be it. It's time to roll. You know, now I can take on that leadership role. I can, you know, be the lead dog. And if that's something that you have been wanting and you've been preparing for, then great. If you haven't, then you're going to worry about it. You're going to be anxious. I'm nervous that now you potentially go from being the sidekick to the main guy, you know. So you can sort of approach it in two ways. Me, it's just like, all right, I get it. This is the business. Hate it that he's gone, but now I got to step into that role, and hopefully somebody else underneath me can step up as well in this receiver room.
I just feel like you kind of have to have the mentality of, he's gone, all right, now it's on me.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, listen, this is a cutthroat business, and this is a business that, what have you done for me today? Mm-hmm. Not yesterday, what have you done for me today? And you have to take that approach as a player. Like, listen, we're friends, I get it, and, you know, once we step off the field, we're good. But once we're on the field, this is competition. This is healthy competition. And I'm doing whatever I need to you know, either be a starter or be that number one guy. You're my friend, but I'm trying to beat you out.
Yeah.
You know, that's point blank.
I got to take care of me.
Exactly. I got to take care of me and my family. It doesn't mean I don't like you as a person. I don't, you know, consider you a true friend. I do. But we play the same position, and there's only one football. You know, So I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to, like I tell Traylon, you know, on these airs, if he's ever listening, create your space. Take your space. Take your spot. You know, the whole game, musical chairs, you know, and they playing that music. You going around that circle. You better take your spot
You need a chair.
Exactly. You better take your chair before it's gone.
Wes in Hermitage is on the line for the question for D-Mays. Go ahead, Wes.
Happy Friday, guys. You know, I got to start with the dad joke really quick, real fast. What do you get when you drop a piano down a mine shaft?
Never mind, I guess. I don't know.
A flat miner.
What'd you say?
A flat miner.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, Wes.
You made up for Adam.
Hey, I told you, man. Danny's just waiting on us, teammate.
Well, not Adam. Who called in with the joke?
Eric.
Not Adam. Eric. Yeah, you made up for Eric. Eric's was kind of.
Hey, there we go. My question is about the one oddball wide receiver on our team that nobody has any idea what to expect from in Traylon Burks. Mm-hmm. So this is my question. It's year three. He's basically done nothing the first 2 years except for show just a little bit of promise when he's actually on the field, but not very much. Mm-hmm. My question is Traylon Burks' third season, is he playing to prove to the Titans that he deserves to be on this team? Or is he at this point proving to the entire NFL that he deserves to be playing football? Because if he doesn't do anything this season, what team is actually going to want him?
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Wes. I appreciate that. Yeah, this season for Traylon is a big season. You know, it's a put up or move to the side type of season. Either you show us what you can do or move over and let one of these other young guys get the job done. Or we're going to move you over and let one of these other young guys get the job done. So, yes, this is a prove it year for him. Not only for this team, but for the rest of the league. If indeed this is what you truly want, because you asked that question yesterday, mm-hmm. Caroline, you know, does he truly want it? And no one can answer that question but Traylon. I mean, you know, people in the building can, you know, sort of look at him as he walks through the building and go about his business. They probably can tell, but nobody truly knows but Traylon whether he wants it or not. So, you know, to me, he has to take what he wants. If he wants a starting role on his team, he got to go take it. Mm-hmm. You know, they've given him opportunities. And listen, for better or for worse, for, you know, good or bad or whatnot, it just hadn't worked out to this point. He's shown some things that we like, but then he's also not on the field as much because of these sort of freak injuries and the concussions. So this year is sort of like the defensive back last year. Fulton.
Farley?
Yeah, Fulton. For two, three years, Fulton was like injury prone. He showed some things, but he was more injury prone than anything else. He had to prove that he was worth, you know, a spot. Mm-hmm. He didn't prove it last year, so he's not here. Same thing goes for Traylon Burks. You got to prove it. You got to prove you deserve a spot on this team. Take it. That's what they want you to do. They want you to take it. Now, do you want it? That's the question.
All right. Willie Donick will join the show coming up next. But first, an update from Augusta. Your leaderboard update from Augusta is brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try their limited-time green jacket burger for a true Masters experience. Update from Augusta. Bryson DeChambeau, Scotty Scheffler, Max Homa, and Nikolai Højgaard, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, are all tied for first, 6 under in round 2. That is your update from Augusta, brought to you by Burger Republic.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.